Okay, I'd like to call to order the March 11th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Bucharest Commission. Would the director like to take role to establish a quorum, please?
Yes. Rick Whitefield?
I'm present.
Stephen Bergeron?
Present.
Cynthia Stewart?
Present.
All members are present.
Great. Well, we'll start with old business and ask if there's someone present for 518 Governor Nichols.
Indeed.
There you go. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 518 through 20 Governor Nichols is a green-rated building. As they propose to install new exterior mechanical equipment in conjunction with ongoing renovation work, application materials received October 9, 2023 and February 18, 2025. At the February 11, 2025 meeting, the committee conceptually approved a mechanical arrangement that was discussed during the meeting to locate all the equipment for both this property and the neighboring 524 Governor Nichols to the rear of the shared courtyard. The idea was the equipment would be stacked on a rack and screened from the rest of the courtyard. Informally implementing this plan and reviewing it with their mechanical contractor, the applicant found that one existing condensing unit in the loggia space would need to be retained, and one other condensing unit would need to be installed adjacent to this unit. Staff finds it unfortunate that not all equipment could be consolidated to a single location. However, this location in the loggia space is very discreet and only visible from within the space itself. In addition to being in a discreet location, staff does not find the work needed to install a unit in this location to be overly invasive and could be reversed in the future. There is also a question regarding the refrigerant lines for the courtyard-mounted equipment. The applicant is proposing to run several of these lines along the underside of the courtyard-facing balcony and into the loggia space where they will either enter the building or travel upward. There is a note about constructing a furdown to minimize visual exposure to the lines, but this detail has not been fully developed. Staff requests additional information on this aspect of the proposal to ensure the impact of the lines and furdown will be acceptable. Staff would not want to see the entire underside of the balcony become enclosed to accommodate the lines, for example. Although the location of this loggia mechanical units does detract from the historic open stairway, staff finds the proposal consistent with the requirements of the guidelines in terms of visibility. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposed mechanical equipment and refrigerant lines.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Sure. Heather Cooper, AQ Studios, 1100 Poitras.
And do you have a presentation or response to staff report that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. I mean, Nick has a good description of kind of where we've been since the last time we were here. The biggest thing was that the top floor units, the refrigerant line's too long. We can't run that far. So that's why we're proposing putting those in the loggia. If certainly our client is open to the, if you want them all in one location and they can't all be on the back wall, they would be open to all of them in the loggia. But I know that's not what we discussed last time. In terms of running the refrigerant line, they're keen on having it on the exterior of the building, not the interior of the building. They intend to sell the units as condos. So if you run it on the inside and you need to do maintenance, you're going into somebody's home. So from a perspective of how do we conceal these condensate lines, I was thinking of it as we can group them all together. If you'll bear with me to think about it as 518 and 524, since they have a shared courtyard. Treat them the same way, running along the face underneath that balcony, and then enclose it in what I'm imagining would be like a coated in stucco, so that maybe it looks like it's supporting the balcony. It's like a structural.
Like a curve, yeah.
That's the most discreet way I can think of running that many condensate lines the length of the courtyard.
And how many of them are there?
So there's two lines per unit.
Okay.
And I believe there are four units on the 524 side and five units on the 524 side. 518, sorry.
Okay, I just want to remind everyone about a little problem we had at
819
Bourbon Street, where this was something similar was done.
It was massive, and what we ended up doing with that one was rather than doing an enclosure, because we were concerned about the enclosure actually giving a false sense of being
and it was
part
huge,
of
sure.
it, and it's yeah. huge, and we were worried about water getting into it, being under the decking, kind of all of that. What we ended up doing there was, instead of having them run under the balcony, they did penetrate the wall and go inside, and then the part that remained on the outside where they were coming up was just screened kind of with a small gap between where the screening stopped and the balcony began. So it's a bit different where they didn't have the lines running horizontally. We didn't prove that there because it was done and it was really unsuccessful.
Horrible, if you know.
Yeah.
And so how many units? I lost count.
That's okay. So there's 4 units on the 518 side and 5 units on the 524 side.
So it's 18 lines.
Yep. They're small. One's a 3/8 inch per, and one's a 5/8 inch. So there's a 3/8 and a 5/8 per unit. So there's 2 lines to each one, and only the 5/8 inch one needs to be insulated with an inch of insulation on it.
It's still 9.
It does add up. It doesn't sound like a lot when you talk about one unit, and then you multiply it.
Do you have any idea what the size of this furring would be?
Right, so I've looked at some configurations, and I think the smallest and best like proportions, it would be like 11 inches wide, which is pretty deep, and then like 1.5 feet tall. So it would be looking like a pretty large structural member that's holding up a not-so-large balcony.
I don't think that's the solution.
So another concern.
I'm open to other ideas.
Yeah.
For sure. That's just kind of where I landed on.
And underground is not an option. They're not redoing the corridor.
Right.
Okay.
You know, my other concern is over time, as pieces and parts are replaced or technology changes, that there may be less sensitive installations or additional, conduit instead of replacing, they could add. I mean, I'm not nothing against you or your client. Just we've seen it around.
Sure. So. Well, that's part of why you're here, right? I've seen multiple scenarios.
Right.
Huh. Well, let's talk about the one in the loggia first, because I think that's probably the easy one to talk about. And so, in this case, the condensate line the refrigerant line goes. Where does it go?
Right in.
That's
it goes right into
the
unit.
One that's serving that unit right there.
And then the one that will be adjacent to it, where will that come?
That would run
refrigerant line go?
Up. To the top unit.
Immediately above.
Yes.
Okay, so that one is pretty straightforward.
Right. That was part of the reason why initially we thought of putting them in the loggia, because then you're not dealing with the condensate lines in the corridor.
Got it. Okay.
Could be a way of separating them, unit one side to the other, instead of having them all up together.
I think they are already saying the 524 side stays on that 524 balcony.
Well, but she was saying running them all through the same furring.
I would just the units, so like the 5 units for 524, I was grouping together to run together.
So they were already separated.
Yeah.
Oh, so it'd only be 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So it'd be
eight and ten. Sorry. They're grouped together by address and they mirror each other in the corridor.
Yeah.
But 10 is still.
Yeah, I don't.
Still a lot.
I don't think making a fake architectural element is the solution here.
Okay.
And I can appreciate that you're going through some real gymnastics in order to even locate the units. In the rear courtyard. So I'd like to just suggest and see what the committee thinks about actually running them under the structure and visible, or with some kind of pan structure to make them slightly less visible, but not trying to consolidate them up against the wall of the building.
That was my initial thought, is that we have gas lines often and electrical conduit that we run in, unconcealed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how the insulation will perform over time.
It won't have any light on it.
Yeah.
That's UV. What does staff think about that?
I don't disagree. I think, be honest about it, it's better than trying to fake it.
It's easier to maintain.
Yeah.
It's accessible.
Sure.
Something changes.
Yeah.
Blah 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 blah. You don't have to rip something out in order to.
Concern. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're imagining we just paint it to match the wall.
Or the underside of the.
Or the under
wherever
side.
It's mounted.
Yeah. I think I would compose it on the.
On the underside of that balcony.
Yeah.
Sure.
What do you think?
That is fine.
Just yes.
I mean, I think this is going to be something that could look really bad.
Sure.
But it could also look organized and.
Right, part of it is on the install.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
sure.
I think that's going to be kind of a really important thing here. Is there any public comment on this proposal? Just to get that part out of the way? No public comment. Have we talked about this enough?
I think so.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Has anyone ever seen those lines jacketed with like a sleeve?
We have.
Run.
It makes them bigger and bigger.
It's not
great.
It's better when it's vertical. You know, it's vertical. We can sometimes hide it in shades that's kind of at the end of the gallery or at the end of the balcony, you know, between where that and the masonry wall is. We've had it run straight up and then kind of, you know, but that's usually going to an interior penetration and then running, you know, the length of the surface on the interior.
Yeah.
And the horizontal's not as successful and
when
it's water and
would you
when it's vertical, sometimes it looks like
a gutter or a downspout.
So sometimes that does work.
Or you just paint it out to match the brick, and it just kind of, you don't really notice it.
I think that, you know, if we go with the solution, would you be prepared to really map out where these lines run and coordinate those with the staff just to make sure that they are well
adequate?
Yeah.
Well, we can do that.
Okay.
Including like a section drawing that would show where they are.
Yeah.
Right, more than the mechanical.
Absolutely.
Like
like an architectural drawing where they are.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have no public comment. Is there any more discussion? Anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Do we have a motion in the matter of 518, Governor Nichols?
Yes, the matter of 518, Governor Nichols. I move to conceptually approve the proposal with the applicant to provide clarifying information as discussed today regarding the line set, routing, and I guess detailed locations of those line sets underneath the balcony. To staff for final review and any other details to be worked out at the staff level.
Great, thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. You can just keep sitting there. 524, Governor Nichols?
Same.
It's well, do you have a report that you want to read?
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Okay.
So similar to 518, Governor Nichols, the applicant found the mechanical equipment could not all be consolidated to a single corridor location. On this property, the applicant is proposing to install a single condensing unit in the open stairway adjacent to the carriageway. This location is similar to the one proposed for 518 Dover Nichols, and it would be very likely only be visible from within the stairway space itself. Staff does not believe there would be any visibility of this unit from the street or from within the courtyard. Like at 518 Dover Nichols, staff finds the addition of equipment in its secondary location unfortunate, but ultimately in keeping with the requirements of the guidelines in terms of visibility. The same concern regarding the running of refrigerant lines is also present on this property. Staff requests additional information on this aspect of the proposal to ensure the impact of the lines at Ferdown will be acceptable. And staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposed mechanical equipment and refrigerant lines.
Thank you. Would you like to just state your name and address again for the record?
Sure.
Heather Cooper, AQ Studios, 1100
Quakers. Great. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that since we've already discussed it for the adjacent property?
I'd like to do what we're doing at 518 over here.
Great. Is there any further discussion?
We haven't talked about the horizontal board screening, but I imagine
is there
details
something
are
in here. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, please.
I imagine those details are kind of typical, and staff has that information. There's not a lot.
Right,
it doesn't specify
like
the size.
Sure.
Yeah.
We can provide more information.
Yep.
I think you asked for that last time in your motion. There you go.
How about that?
Nothing like being
great
on the ball. Is there any public comment on this before we go to a motion? Okay, you don't have anything to add?
No, thank you.
Do we have a motion in the matter of 524, Governor Nichols?
Yes, in the matter of 524, Governor Nichols, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with additional information to be provided to staff for today's conversation and all final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Next item is 525 Arborville, and we have an applicant present. So could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 525 Iberville is a yellow-rated building. This is a proposal to modify the previously approved plans, including installation of additional rooftop mechanical equipment. For application materials received October 4th and February 27th, 2025, respectively. During preparation of construction documents for this project, the applicant returned to staff, noting that additional rooftop mechanical equipment would be needed. This included three mini-split condensing units and a new dedicated outdoor air unit. The three mini-split condensing units would be located adjacent to previously approved condensing units, and being comparably sized, staff has no objection to the addition of these units. The dedicated outdoor air unit is a considerably larger piece of equipment, measuring nearly 70 inches tall by 84 and a half inches long and about 53 inches wide. This unit is proposed for installation closer to the back of the building, but still more than 19 feet from the rear wall of the building. The unit is shown more than 10 feet from the size of the building. Given the height of the building and location of the rooftop mechanical equipment, there will continue to be no visibility from any locations from the ground. Staff suspects that this would be visible from the upper floors of a few neighboring properties, but staff does not find this visibility to be overly obtrusive or objectionable. As such, staff finds this proposal for additional mechanical equipment in keeping with the guidelines, which allows for rooftop equipment that is not visibly obtrusive. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Great. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Mark Heck with Studio Rise, 1541 Tulane Avenue, architect of record.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report?
As Nick stated, we tried to get in front of this early to make sure we were in line with everything. Throughout the duration, the owner was really adamant they want to do an outside air unit due to the masonry construction. They want to make sure they're able to address any moisture penetration and not just rely on an exhaust fan. And with that, this kind of new equipment came up, so we submitted it for approval. Again, we tried to keep it as consolidated to the center of the roof as possible. It still doesn't require any railings from IMC because we're more than 10 feet from the edge. And that's
great. Any discussion?
I appreciate these drawings. They make it very easy to understand what the proposal is.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Anything that you'd like to add from staff?
No.
Okay.
It's just something we couldn't approve with the staff.
Yeah, I understand. You've had your say. Anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Is there a motion in the matter of 525 Iberville?
Yes, in the matter of 525 Iberville, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Great. Do we have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Next item is 533 Dauphine Street. Do we have an applicant? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 531 through 33 Dauphine Street. Previously had a main yellow rated main building, which was destroyed by fire in 2023. Still retains a green rated service building and a brown rated rear building. Does a proposal to construct a new wood fence and gate across the front property line? Fabrication materials received January 9th, 2024 and February 14th, 2025, respectively. Prior to the front building burning in 2023, this building was truly just a shell of the former Creole cottage with the front wall and a roof, but the walls facing the interior of the property long demolished. Following the 2023 fire, these remaining elements were completely demolished and a temporary construction fence installed. The applicant is now proposing to construct a more permanent wood fence. Notably, this application was filed over a year ago and has been in the process of seeking a variance to have the fence at 8 feet in height, as the CZO states that fences are limited to 7 feet in height in historic districts. The City Planning Commission ultimately determined that no variance was needed. Staff has also confirmed with the building department that a wood fence of this height would meet building codes. Architecturally, staff has some concerns about this proposal. The previously existing material along this front property line was the masonry wall of the former building. As a new fence is now proposed in wood, staff is concerned about this downgraded material. The guidelines state that a vertical or horizontal wood board fence is typically about 6 to 8 feet tall and is generally located at a rear or side yard. Although the front building no longer exists, there is still a green rated rear building on this property. The guidelines also state that the VCC does not allow solid wood fencing or a wall located at the front facade of the building. Staff quickly surveyed properties in the district that have large side yards or feature buildings that are well set back from the street. Examples included 1025 St. Louis, 909 Ursuline, 1022 Toulouse, 535 Barracks, 711 Barracks, and 1021 Dumaine. A closest example of something like the proposed was seen at 931 St. Louis, which features a vertical board fence, a wood board fence, and a wood gate. Prior to the current wood fence at 931 St. Louis, there was a contemporary metal fence which was approved to be replaced based on historic documentation that a wood gate was in place here prior to the 1980s metal fence. As masonry is a typical material seen in these situations, and the previously existing condition was masonry, staff questions the appropriateness of a new wood fence. Staff recommends that any new fence be masonry, such as a stucco brick fence. Ideally, this property would be fully redeveloped and eliminate the need for a front property line fence. Staff recommends denial of the current proposal for a wood fence, with the applicant to revise the proposal to feature masonry.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Daniel Winkert, 3210 Dumaine Street. I'm the architect for the job.
Do you have a statement or a response to staff report?
I do. I'm a little confused because, you know, yeah, this has been a very frustrating project because not only did we apply for the permit and then zoning said we needed a BZA waiver, and we did that for about 7 months, and then they said we don't need a waiver, which wasted a lot of time. But I also went back and forth with Nick a fair amount in April of last year on the details of this, and we went back and forth, and there was no mention of needing to do a masonry fence, and now all of a sudden, you know, doesn't like the wood fence that we worked back and forth on that.
Sorry. I take credit for that. As we discussed it, as we were drafting this report, and after Nick did a lot of research in the neighborhood to see, you know, where we have similar conditions, we agreed that this should be a masonry wall and not a wooden fence, because ultimately we would hope that this building would be restored and it's masonry. And as our guidelines specify that we don't typically approve a downgrade in material, this going from masonry to a wood fence, to the staff's perspective, that would be a downgraded material. And that's why we brought this to the ARC.
I understand. However, ultimately, if it's masonry or if it's wood, it will probably be removed when a new building is built. So I'm not sure I understand why we would spend more money for a masonry fence that also has to come down.
I would agree with that. If we had ever seen any proposal or if there was any movement towards new construction, to, you know, replicate what had been taken down. How many years has it been, and we've not?
It's been a year.
It's been a year.
And we did actually send something, you know, about this, and which you replied to, so you have seen it. Okay. So, but also we've got to recognize what was built, what was burnt down, has very little value in terms of insurance, and it's going to be difficult. So I'm just, you know, just throwing this out there. It's you know, you can understand why I'm a little frustrated. I'm not, you know.
Well, listen, first of all, this is the first time the Architecture Committee has seen this, and so any frustration is not appropriate to be directed at this panel. And I think that what we need to do is talk about the merits of this proposal just basically as it is. And what I'm seeing is, I'm not seeing a proposal for redevelopment. I'm seeing a fence across the property line. That's
right.
All we have to talk about.
To replace a plywood fence.
To replace a building that was burned.
No, to replace a plywood fence that's there now.
Was that permitted?
It's a construction fence.
It's a construction fence.
But there was a building.
But yeah.
There was a building, yeah. Yes.
But the construction fence is not a permanent installation.
No.
So we're talking about a wood fence to fence this thing.
There was a wood side there. You can see on the side of the building.
Where the gate is.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so committee, what do you think about this fence? And if you don't want to start, I will.
I don't know. I feel both ways, honestly. I feel like it was not really a building to begin with. I mean, it was 50 years ago, but has not been for some time. So insisting that we go back with masonry for what was not a building feels like a lot.
It was meant to replicate a building, though.
I understand.
The reason it was allowed to stay in that condition is because it replicated the building.
It is a placeholder.
Right.
And yeah. I do think that a wood fence on a front property line, as Nick shared, is highly unusual. Perhaps a wood gate where there was a wood gate and the rest is masonry? I don't know. You know, that's not what was proposed here today. But you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Constructed in wood seems like it would be to imply that this is a side yard for some adjacent building.
Right.
And it's not. It's an empty lot.
Partially.
Yeah, it's constructed.
Yeah, it's got that
green building behind it.
So there. I mean, without talking about the design of the fence, which, you know, we will get to if we decide that we want to talk about a wood fence, and there are things to talk about in this design for sure. One way that we could think about this would be a time-related approval,
yes,
pending redevelopment of the site. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out a way that we could talk about a wood fence that wouldn't really step on the guidelines.
Right.
And would give us an opportunity to talk about a wood fence rather than a masonry fence.
Ultimately, what the staff agrees is that we would like to see this site redeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have been internally frustrated, this has nothing to do with you or your client, because we don't have a mechanism to acquire that. And so what we're concerned about is seeing a permanent condition where it is going to be a vacant lot with a, or a mostly vacant lot with a green-rated building at the rear. And we don't want a missing tooth along Dauphine Street across the street from a very significantly rated building. And you know, down the street, two doors down, it's a very, it's a significant block, is what we're saying. And so we're trying to move the needle in the direction of something that is less of an anomaly in block, is what I'm trying to say.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, is that if this became a security issue where this fence is too low to actually keep people out, we wouldn't be able to approve any kind of barrier above this, you know, like fish hooks or, you know, barbed wire or anything like that. But if you did do a masonry, fish hooks then would be appropriate if you were struggling with people climbing it and accessing the site.
Has that been an issue for your client?
Yeah, that's why we wanted a 9-foot fence and why the zoning said we had to go to the BZA, then they said we didn't have to go to the BZA. I mean, it's just
and if you did a 9-foot masonry fence, that would be approvable and wouldn't require a waiver because then it would be considered a wall and there's no required setbacks for the height of a wall that mm-hmm. there is for a fence.
Well, apparently they say that this is okay now. I don't know why they changed
their mind. At 8 feet.
8 feet.
Nine feet.
Well, I'm seeing 8 feet on your drawings. The drawings say, but that
sure
drawing right in the middle says 8 feet. But that may be my eyes.
It's the 8-6 to the top of the column.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the fence itself is 96 inches.
Huh.
Yes.
Well, that's just why I'm reading the drawings, man.
Yeah, sure.
I can't tell you anything else but what's on the drawings.
I can't explain that except that it was 8 or 9 months ago now.
Okay.
I thought the proposal was 9 feet, but.
No, 9 feet was definitely.
So, committee, let's decide if we're talking about a masonry wall or a wood fence.
If it were to be masonry, what?
Excuse me.
Sorry.
We're talking about whether it's going to be a masonry wall or a wood fence.
Had,
no, I said committee. Committee, please. Let's not talk about the design, the wood design, because. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say something, and I think that we might want to defer this matter to allow you to speak with your client. I think that we could approve within the bounds of the guidelines a temporary installation of a wood fence pending redevelopment, or entertain a masonry fence if the site isn't going to have redevelopment within, say, 12 months. Does that seem like a reasonable position to take?
My concern is, I'm not sure what sort of enforcement we would be able to have it removed.
Well, let's get a good wood fence.
I can tell you within those 12 months, I'm going to be back there asking to put something on the top of that because they have vagrants going in.
Right.
It's a pretty bad.
Okay, so I mean, I think this is really, it's a design problem for your clients.
It's not a design problem, it's a cost issue, but it is what it is. I mean, if that's what they have to do, that's what they have to do. I mean, I don't know.
If it's temporary, it's temporary. I don't see any problem with that as an idea.
There's no way for us to enforce that.
Yeah, there's no way to do the 12 months.
And this is the same owner that owns the Olivia House down the street.
Is that?
Well, you just saw, what was that, last commission, last
mm-hmm.
ARC.
Yep.
They've been here about balconies and removing things like that.
Windows and, yep.
I'm just.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean. Okay, public comment. That might help us.
Yeah.
Any public comment on this proposal? Nobody's going to help us with public comment, it looks like.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, absolutely. This is time to try to solve this problem.
Awesome. Masonry fence, is that mean it's a brick fence or CMU with stucco, or what are we talking
either
about?
Way.
Either
yeah.
one.
Either one.
And then I guess the gate portion would be something we could talk about at staff, like if it's an iron gate, if it's a wood, you know.
I would think it would be a wood gate.
Whatever.
Kind of what was there, but.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that what we need to do is defer this to allow you to talk with your client to find out what they want to do.
Okay.
So, are you satisfied with the deferral at this point?
Sure.
Okay. Do I have a motion, please?
Sure. In the matter of 531 Dauphine, I move to defer to allow the applicant time to work with his client on a revised proposal.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. Next item is 827 through 29 St. Philip Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do not.
I think we could probably proceed without him.
Okay.
Straightforward.
Can we have a staff report, please?
Actually,
no.
I did have quite a few questions as part of it.
Maybe just wait. Maybe
yeah, he might show up.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to 827. No, let's move on to 612 Bourbon Street. Do we have an applicant present? Don't? Yeah. Okay, we have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. This is a proposal to install new mechanical equipment, including a hood vent, modify millwork, and demolish chimney. Our application materials received February 5th, 2025. Work appears to be limited to the main building and rear infill addition at 612 Bourbon, and primarily consists of mechanical work for the restaurant. A new kitchen supply fan and exhaust vent are proposed on the flat roof of the infill, which will be screened by a new rail installed on the courtyard side. A 6'9" by 8'8" platform supporting a VRF unit is also proposed on the rear roof slope of the green-rated cottage adjacent to the dormer. Steps from the lower flat roof are required to access the platform. Structural drawings have been provided which show interior reinforcement in both buildings under the new equipment. The flat roof is accessed through an inappropriate door in the existing dormer, which is not original. No work is proposed at this dormer, and it appears to have been in this condition for some significant time. Staff is concerned that the hood vent may be too close to the property line to be found approvable by the Mechanical Division of Safety and Permits, as vent setbacks have been inconsistently enforced. It may also be visible down the alley from the public right-of-way, so screening may be needed. Additionally, two gas water heaters are proposed to be mounted to the side wall of the cottage down this alley. Manufacturer spec sheets must be submitted for the water heaters, and more information about the locations and size of the gas lines should also be provided. The applicant proposes to demolish an inaccurate chimney at the St. Peter and Royal corner of the cottage. Staff has no objection and finds this approvable, as it is clearly not a historic roof feature. The proposal also includes replacing millwork with the French doors closest to Bourbon on the St. Peter elevation noted to be fixed in place. Staff requests that the applicant provide more information about this aspect of the proposal, as the guidelines highly discourage this type of modification. If the committee finds it approvable, the millwork must be functional so future modifications could restore operability. Flashing details for the roof penetrations must be provided for review at staff level prior to permit. Shop drawings will be needed for final approval of all new millwork prior to fabrication and installation. Spec sheets for all mechanical equipment are also needed for review of size and sound data. Staff recommends minor revisions to the flat roof rail and screening, but is happy to handle that with the applicant at staff level. Staff also suggests that the applicant take the opportunity to replace the inappropriate and worn torch down flat roof with TPO before new equipment is installed. Staff recommends conceptual approval with revisions as noted above, and all mechanical specs to be reviewed and approved at staff level, provided that they are within the typical size and noise output range for similar equipment.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Gary Krasnow, 7734 Walmsley Avenue, NOLA 70125. I'm the professional record on the record.
Okay. Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or a response to the staff report?
No, I'll respond to the staff report. As far as those doors go, they're going to be operable. It's more of a mislabel than anything else. It'll probably be locked during operation, so they put a table there. But they're going to match the doors on Bourbon. We'll provide all the millwork details to verify that. I've spoken with the contractor about the fact that, you know, we're probably going to need to replace that roof that you mentioned. All the equipment up there now is going to go. The roof isn't in great shape. So I'm sure we'll be replacing the roof anyway. As far as sound goes, I know there's some sound information on the mechanical drawings regarding the hood, the intake air equipment. That's 68 decibels. I don't have any information on sound effects for the exhaust fan. I'll have to get that. We have had some mechanical comments come back, and they have not mentioned anything about the proximity of the exhaust fan to the edge of the roof of the property. So it just hasn't come up yet. I don't have any problems with if we need to put a rail up there for screening, and probably not a bad idea anyway. Didn't address it yet. As far as working with the staff on detail, you know, we've been open this whole time. We've met with some of them at the site a few months ago and expressed that, you know, whatever we need to get this approved in terms of detail, and we're fine. Whatever you all want to work with you.
Great, thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Question for the staff. How did you determine that the chimney is an anachronism?
There should be a picture of the inside. Also, the location
is...
Just
the location is weird.
It's weird.
It is unusual.
It's in front of a window.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that that seems historic to me.
Okay, I was...
It's a weird shape.
It's also weird brick.
Yeah, weird location. You know, millwork framed out behind it.
Looks like somebody wanted a fireplace.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's exactly what it looks like when you look at the photograph.
Yeah,
it's like a pizza. Yeah, exactly. Okay, is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see any public comment. We're kind of jabbering. Are there any questions or discussion from the committee?
No, this seems pretty straightforward.
Anything that staff would like to add? Concerns? Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion, Mr. Caswell? Is there anything you'd like to say before?
Oh, no.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 612 Bourbon Street?
Yes, in the matter of 612 16 Bourbon, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with revisions per the staff report and all mechanical specs to be reviewed and approved at the staff level.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is 836 Esplanade Avenue. We have an applicant present. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 836 through 42 Esplanade is a yellow-rated building. This is a proposal to repair millwork, replace gate, and alter a window. For application, materials received February 10th, 2025 and February 26th, 2025, respectively. The proposed millwork repairs are to match existing and are approvable at staff level. While they involve repairs to millwork that was initially installed without permit, retention was approved in 2019. The Dauphine side gate will be replaced with a new wooden gate. While the elevation calls for tongue-in groove wood planks, the width of the boards is not specified, and the jam detail provided shows vertical boards that are not tongue-in groove. A 4-inch gap is left between the bottom of the gate and grade. While staff understands the desire for a gap, it would be preferable if it were to be reduced, as 4 inches is a bit higher than what is typically seen for a wood gate. Staff finds replacement conceptually approvable with the proviso that revisions are needed and will work with the applicant on revising some of the details to be more in keeping with typical BCC detail sheets.
Great.
Thank you. The existing vinyl window at the Dauphine side of the building was... Sorry.
It was an awful long breath, is all you said.
Still a little out of breath. An existing vinyl window at the Dauphine side of the building was installed without permit some years ago and is used to access the rooftop HVAC equipment. In 2020, the committee reviewed and conceptually approved an application to install a single outswinging casement, but that work was never permitted or completed. At the time, the applicant felt that an outswinging casement could be made watertight and interior conditions prevented an interior swing. The applicant is now proposing to install a six-light in-swinging casement window. Staff finds this to be more appropriate in comparison to the 2020 proposal and a vast upgrade over current conditions and recommends approval.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Sure. Jason Richards, Studio West, 2340 Dauphine Street. We're the architects working with the property owner.
Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or a response to the staff report?
I'll just briefly respond to the staff request. We can certainly revise the gate details to show the tongue groove and specify the width of the tongue groove. And the 4-foot gap, don't really know where that was coming from. We're happy to make that.
Somebody had to write down something.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see any public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about what we're talking about? I see no discussion. Would you guys like to add anything before we go to a motion? Are we ready for a motion? I don't want to rush you.
No, I was actually just admiring how nice this building looked like 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah, right?
It's so
pretty.
Yeah. Well,
that's
pretty
cool. Yeah, it has been reviewed. There's been a proposal for that before, and it was reviewed and then abandoned.
Yeah. I think people would love to eat in the tower.
Yeah. I think
it might have egress issues.
Yes.
Okie doke. A motion?
Sure. In the matter of 838 Esplanade, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with revisions to be made for the staff report and all final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thanks for coming
Thank
in
you.
Today.
Thank you all.
Next item is 1002 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present? 1002 St. Peter. Raise up your hand if you're... Nope. Nobody for 1002 St. Peter. We'll move on to 400 North Rampart. Do we have an applicant present for 400 North Rampart? Do we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 400 North Rampart is a yellow-rated building. This is a proposal to renovate the building, including the construction of a rooftop addition. Application materials received February 26, 2025. A major renovation is proposed for this building, but the exterior work on the elevations is pretty limited and only includes minor repairs to windows and doors and replacing the existing awning. Proposed work at the rooftop level is much more significant. On the roof, the applicant proposes to demolish what is labeled as a mechanical room and measures approximately 1,200 square feet. This portion of the building rises about 9.5 feet above the existing parapet on the counter elevation and is located all across the Burgundy side of the building. There is an existing rooftop feature along the north rampart side of the building, which will remain largely intact and will guide the proposed new rooftop additions. Staff found that in the mid-1980s, a major renovation was completed, which included extending the parapets up their current height and the construction of the existing rooftop additions, with the portion proposed to remain labeled as the observation room. The applicant essentially proposed to replicate the angled roof line of the observation room three additional times across the roof. The now built-up mechanical room would become a sunken mechanical area with the equipment shown on the built on the roof of the existing building and surrounded by the new addition. Staff measures the tallest portion of the rooftop addition at 5.5 feet above the existing parapet on the Kantai side of the building, with the parapet itself noted as being 9.5 feet tall. In other words, the addition would rise a maximum of 15 feet above the existing flat roof. The portion of the addition closest to the parapets is shorter, rising approximately 9.5 feet above the flat roof. The wall of this portion of the addition is set back behind the parapets a distance of about 7.5 feet. The guidelines for rooftop additions state that the VCC requires that a rooftop addition be set back from the street facades of the building by a minimum of the overall height of the addition. In this instance, the addition is set about 1 to 2 feet closer to the edge of the roof than required by guidelines. Still, staff notes the large height of this parapet, which should eliminate a great deal of visibility of the addition. With this building being located on a rampart and with a notable lack of neighboring buildings, there are street-level vantage points that would have visibility of the tallest portions of the proposed addition. If measured from the tallest point of the proposed new angled roofs, the proposed addition would be taller than allowed by the guidelines at approximately 15 feet above the flat roof. The guidelines state that the VCC limits the overall height of the rooftop addition, including framing and parapet, to 12 feet above the lowest surface of the existing roof, except for code-required components such as an elevator override. Still, staff notes that the tallest portion of this proposed addition would match the tallest point of the 1980s rooftop addition. Additionally, if measured from the midpoint of the angled roof rather than the peak, the addition measures closer to 12.5 feet. The floor plan on A3 shows that the majority of the rooftop addition would be utilized as sleeping units for the community center, and staff notes that no change of use is being contemplated with this work. The portion of flat roof between the addition and the existing parapet is shown as being accessible from the abutting sleeping unit. With the parapets rising 9.5 feet above this activated roof area, there would be no visibility of these private roof terraces. The size of these private roof areas varies from unit to unit, but appears to typically be around 80 square feet. Staff notes a few inconsistencies on the floor plan for the rooftop addition on A3. These include notes for several skylights as part of the addition, but these are not seen on the roof plan or elsewhere on the plans for the rooftop addition. The floor plan also has a note about the parapet being 6 feet tall, but it is noted and shown considerably taller in other sheets. In summary, there are aspects of this proposal that appear to be against or not recommended by the guidelines. Notably, the guidelines state that the VCC does not recommend a rooftop addition on a green, pink, or yellow roof building, or a rooftop addition on a building of less than 3 full stories in height. Still, staff notes that the proposal is fairly consistent with the existing rooftop addition, and the tall parapet should shield the great majority of the addition. Staff seeks clarification from the applicant regarding a few of the inconsistencies noted in the plans, as well as commentary from the committee regarding the overall project. Staff notes that any rooftop addition requires full commission approval.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Jonathan Marcantel, architect. Address is 2739 Contact Street.
Okay.
Casey Guidry, I'm the CEO of Stark Corporation, who's the owner of the building, and my address is 1100 Gerard Street.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us? They raised a couple of points that they'd like you to clarify.
Yeah, I think he summarized it pretty well. The skylight note is an error. There wouldn't be skylights. The idea of the roof shape is to allow a clear story natural light to come in. And as Nick mentioned, it's utilizing the existing form and mass and replicating that. The views, to our disadvantage, you can get far away from the building and see it clearly, but if you're at a typical distance from the building, it is not visible from Rampart. I think that's about it.
Great. And so I just like to ask a couple of questions for clarity, for my own clarity. As I look at slide, I don't even know what number this is, that slide right there, all that mechanical equipment that's visible from Contact Street, that will all be located down into the well.
Correct.
And so I'd just like to compliment you on coming up with a really great place for your mechanical equipment. And then the shape that we're seeing in profile here would be repeated 3 more times.
Correct.
I think this is a brilliant solution.
I think it is, frankly, as well. I think this is a great use of wasted space.
And also a very appropriate shape for the roof of this building. I would recommend for approval with details to get worked out.
Yeah,
but
I
feel pretty good about it. How about you, Stephen? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
don't want to railroad you at
you're
all.
You're so but, enthusiastic. You're surprised.
I like this
your,
one.
I like it
incredible
a lot.
Incredible enthusiasm.
Well, I don't like those. I mean, it solves all the issues with the building. I mean,
it's not an activated roof experience.
Right.
This is the way it should be.
Right. And it's being used to actually house people.
Yes.
Yeah. Like real people.
Yeah, real people who need to live someplace.
Yeah, I just love that. Okay, I'll ask for public comment while you compose yourself. Is there a public comment on the proposal for 1002 St. Peter's? No. I'm sorry, 400 North Rampart. I made my notes in the wrong place. I see no public comment. Any other discussion by the committee?
No.
Okay. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
No.
You can make it more difficult if you want. But I think you have a good proposal here, and it's well presented, so we can actually understand it. And so I'd like to move this one forward if we possibly can. Do I have a motion in the matter of 1002 St. Peter Street?
400 North Rampart.
I'm sorry, 400 North Rampart. Gosh, I'm looking at the wrong thing.
In the matter of 400 North Rampart, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
It's got to go to commission.
It's commission. Recommend.
I propose to, I move to recommend send this to the full commission with a positive recommendation.
I would like to see this as it is developed, actually.
It'll come back. Yeah,
it will come back after commission. Okay. In that case, could I have a second for the motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for having a project that's really easy to approve. We're going to move on to appeals and violations and ask if anybody's present for 740 Royal. Royal, don't be slow. You are Royal?
740.
740 Royal. Okay, could we staff report, please?
Sure. 738-342 Royal is a blue-rated building. This is a proposal to retain copper flashing in location of previously existing terracotta tiles. Fabrication materials received November 25th, 2024, and February 25th, 2025, respectively. This application was deferred at the December 10th meeting at the applicant's request to allow time for more information to be gathered. The applicant submitted additional documentation, noting that the work was done due to concerns over water filtration and arguing that the copper flashing provides better waterproofing compared to the previously existing terracotta. That was observed, other applicants and contractors struggle with this detail where a single sloped roof transitions immediately to a vertical wall with no parapet for the roof to be flashed into. Staff does not have a standard detail on this and would typically recommend a historic or existing treatment, in this case, the previously existing terracotta tiles. Staff questions if the ridge tiles could still be installed over the copper flashing and if this may be approvable. Staff does not find the retention of the as-built exposed flashing to be appropriate and requests commentary from the committee regarding the preferred detail.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Hello, everybody. Miles Martin, 1000 Norman C. Francis, architect.
Patrick Brown, Tuna Construction, 464 Batik Road, Wagner, Louisiana, general contractor.
Okay, do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or a response to the staff report?
No additional information.
Okay, let's look at this roof and tell me exactly where this is.
No, that's the name of the building.
Right there.
So that's going to be St. Anne to our left, and so this is the part of the building fronting on St. Anne.
So it's the service L.
And there's a curved cap on those dormers?
So if you're looking, I'm just having trouble finding where we're talking about. I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. So, can you help us?
Sure.
Since you're the architect. Tell me where it is, right there. That's
here.
The vertical wall.
And that's the copper flashing that goes just directly into the slate roof.
Okay, so I'm seeing it here, right? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Yes.
Talk to us about why you have to do this. I mean, you have to make your case.
So this roof was being repaired it's hard to keep track of all those hurricanes that were blowing through, and this permit got pulled some years back. Previously installed condition, right, at that high roof edge was terracotta tile. That terracotta tile failed after that hurricane state. Where that high wall meets that ridge roof at that peak. We filed for a permit. That permit showed terracotta being replaced throughout the duration of construction. The detail was changed as the fear of the terracotta wrapping that flat or that vertical surface to the angled surface wasn't going to properly encapsulate that ridge line. So in lieu of that detail right there, if you go back for me, there we go. Right, the detail on the left shows the original installed condition. The detail on the right shows where a copper flashing cap has been introduced to seal up that roof edge.
Thank you. That's clear. Committee, any questions for the applicant or discussion about the proposal? Proposed retention?
Is there a reason we can't put terracotta over the copper?
It's going to blow up off. Hmm? I don't think we can secure it.
No, I think you're right.
Well, they're usually nailed, aren't they? Those terracotta caps?
They're cool things.
The nail would have to go through
and
the top.
It'd have to be a 3x wall.
It's, a lot of times they'll be
mortared.
Mortared, embedded.
But that's not, you can't do that with copper.
And we've had similar condition, or at least I've seen a similar condition where you had a terracotta cap on a square slope piece of vertical, but it at that point wasn't 3x thick, so they were able to do a slightly larger terracotta, do it kind of like a cant, and still like mortar it and have it do that way. But for one this thick, I don't think that would, same detail would work.
I hear you.
Okay, and so how visible is this? It fronts on the side street.
St. Anne?
Yeah, it fronts on St. Anne, but
it's pretty far back.
It's very visible from the street.
Yeah,
because it's so tall.
Yeah, it's very tall.
Yeah, you can see it from above.
I'd say keep the building dry.
I agree.
Okay. Is there any public comment? I don't see any public. Same with no comment. Would you like to say something before we go to a motion?
No, sir.
Okay, good. Do we have a motion in the matter of 740 Royal Street?
Yes, the matter of 740 Royal, noting the unique conditions or unique condition that is present on this building and the inconspicuousness of the location, I move to approve retention of copper flashing as installed.
Do I have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Matt, matter passes. Thank you for coming in.
If I may, once again, when you find things in the field that you need to change, please contact us in advance. We'll speed this up a lot.
Okay. So we're going to go back and note that there's no one else present. So could we have a motion to defer 827-29 St. Philip Street, please?
And 531
Duffy. Just one at a time. Thank you.
Yes, the matter of 827-29 St. Philip, I move to defer.
Do you have a second for that motion?
A second.
Because, I'm sorry.
To allow the applicant to be present.
Yes. Second for that motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. And then it's
1002
St. Peter Street. Do we have a motion for deferral?
Yes, the matter 1002 St. Peter, I move to defer to allow the applicant to be present.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we come to the end of the agenda. Could I have a motion to adjourn, please?
I so move.
Do I have a second for that motion?
Second, Matt.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.